Good morning. Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Logan. That was a little weak, wasn't it?
I was strong.
Yeah, Wyatt, good job, Wyatt. Good morning. We have a few announcements. As you know, I'm going to be on vacation for a couple Sundays. No cheers or applause are necessary. But we'll be gone a couple Sundays. You know it means a lot to me. I would encourage you all to come out and come to church. Hear the speakers that we have. Jamie Fugit, who's a deacon at First Baptist Williamson, will be here preaching the first Sunday. Evan Arkell, our area minister, will be preaching the second Sunday. So please come out and hear them and encourage them. They may have something great to bring to you. They've studied and prepared. So please come and support the ministers that fill in. It's hard to get fellas to fill in. And it doesn't bode well if people don't show up when they come. Other announcements is we're not having Wednesday night service for the next two Wednesdays. So this Wednesday for Thanksgiving, the following Sunday because I won't be here. And so you get a little break. I'm on vacation, you get a little vacation. You'll have a break from Wednesday. Now we will be having Sunday school as normal. Mr. Godby's going to teach Sunday school, and so please everybody turn out. I know his family said they're bringing noisemakers and cowbells and that type thing. Boos and hisses will be prepared. So I encourage you to come to Sunday school, come to church, and be mindful. No church, and I'm repeating myself so that everybody knows, no Wednesday night service for the next two Wednesdays. And so we'll pick up after that. Any other announcements? Aaron does want to see the ladies after church. If that is all, let's get our hearts and minds ready to worship. Aaron's going to play us a little music so we can do that. Father God, we come to you, Father, praying for your presence, praying, Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our life, praying, Lord, that this service will be pleasing unto you as we sing unto your name and as we preach and hear your word. Father, we pray for our church. We pray for each and every member of our congregation as brothers and sisters in Christ. May we grow together, Lord, through our fellowship and through the training and such that we have here. Father, we just pray that we will grow, Lord, that we will be witnesses, that you will use our church, Father, that as we grow and that we will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, joy and love and peace and all those other things, and that you will use us to witness to others. So many lost, such a confused, such a hurting world, suffering world, Lord. And we know the only solution is salvation in Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen. Our call to worship this morning before we sing is 1 Kings chapter 10, as we continue to do the life of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10. Now we've got 29 verses. I'm going to read you the first 13, and then we'll cover some of the other ones as we go along. 1 Kings chapter 10. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offering that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the reports that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and very great quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of among wood and precious stones. And the king made of the among wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such among wood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word, and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would please, Father, work through me and give me the words to say, that I would preach the things that you would have me to say. And that, Father, your Holy Spirit would open our hearts, our minds, Lord, and would convict and inform our will, that we would believe, that we would hear, that we would take to heart your word, that we may not sin against you, Father. We pray in Christ's name, and amen. Having heard the word of God, let's turn to hymn number 576. Let's all stand as you are able. And before we sing, let's stand and let's look at the responsive reading. So, this one's a little different. It begins with you. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We're here to be thankful this week with Thanksgiving coming, and we should be, as believers, overflowing with thankfulness. Let's sing hymn number 576. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'd like to read along, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. We should pray together, and we did when we prayed the Lord's Prayer. We should read the Word together. We should sing together. we should study together. Proverbs 18, verse 23 through chapter 19, verse 4. But before we read that, let's look in our bulletins. We have a little comment from the ESV Study Bible about this passage. These Proverbs observe misfortune from various angles. The poor are reduced to begging and taking abuse. But a few friends stick by a man even in his worst times. The great majority of one's companions, however, only stay close by so long as one's fortunes are good. In bad times, they disappear. Poverty with integrity is better than immorality. But hunger, such as is produced by poverty, can lead to thoughtless, hasty acts of folly. People often blame God for their misfortune when they should be blaming themselves. Let us read it. Proverbs 18:23. The poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. When a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let us stance once more as you were able to hymn number 575, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness.
Day I have.
You may be seated. Did you read those words? Much to be thankful for, don't we? Would our ushers please come forward? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for, as we heard in that hymn. To you who bore our pain, Father, plumbing the depths of grace and giving us life again. We just thank you, Father, during this Thanksgiving week, that we would be truly thankful for the one we owe the greatest immeasurable amount of thanks. To you, our Father, and to our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, and for the ministry of your precious Holy Spirit. Father, as we give back to you today, and may we give of ourselves, of our gifts, of our talents. May we serve you and bring glory to your name, Father. But as we give back materially today, Father, we would ask that you would bless this offering, that you would bless it to your glory, that you would bless it for the furtherance and strength and growth of our church, and that you would bless it that for the spread of your gospel, that we may reach a lost and dying world. In Christ we pray, and amen. Seated. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles back to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. We're going to talk today about wisdom and treasure. Wisdom and treasure. Who wants more wisdom and treasure? Amen? Man, nobody wants wisdom and treasure? Okay. Wisdom and treasure. And so we have a report today. We come to this passage where we continue to see different aspects of Solomon's kingdom. And here we see the pinnacle of his power and wealth is what we're going to see today. And so we hear about the wisdom from the Queen of Sheba and about wealth. And then towards the end of the chapter, it talks about this accumulation of wealth. And when we look at Solomon, just like we looked at David, and we can see the foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus and what Jesus was going to do and the King Jesus was going to be, we see here in Solomon the reign of Christ and the coming of his kingdom that is full of wisdom and riches that are immeasurable. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I want to read you something here. And then 9 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Then it says that, King Herod heard this too, right? He's troubled. He has the opposite response. of the wise men. He and his symbols, the chief priest and the scribes, he wants to know where he was going to be born. And he wants to summon the wise men, and he wants to seek, wants them to seek out Christ and find him. He says so he can worship him. And then in verse 9, after listening to the king, speaking to the wise men, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Notice these wise men seeking Jesus. And I want you to bear this in mind as we hear from the Queen of Sheba in this passage today, that she sought out Solomon for what reason? What did we hear in these opening verses? Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She was seeking. She heard of this famed wisdom and what Solomon was doing for the Lord. And she came to hear, didn't she? She came to question. She came to test. And the wise men saw a star. And they sought out Jesus Christ, didn't they? That they would worship him and bring gifts, as the Queen of Sheba brought gifts. And so blessing and wealth flow from relationship, don't they? They absolutely do. When we think of relationships with parents and children and the inheritances that parents leave, the blessing we get from an earthly parent, but the blessing we get from God the Father, and the wealth and riches and inheritance that flow through His Son, Jesus Christ, the King. And I want you to see these things as we just hear from the Queen of Sheba and what she saw and this testimony. Ephesians 1, verse 11. Now, I tried to put a few verses up here for you to you could look up ahead of time, like I've been trying to do on the screen, but I didn't get them all on here today. So you will just have to be quick on the draw. And you'll have to look them up. I can't remember if I put that one on there or not. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen. And so I want you to see that we're going to talk about wisdom and treasure, and this surpassing wisdom that the Queen of Sheba saw in Solomon, and how it's a foreshadow of this great wisdom and inheritance that is in Jesus Christ. And she says, as she comes to him, and I want to focus on verses 6 through 9, where she says to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and in your wisdom." The reports are true. Have you heard? Has Logan heard? Has West Virginia heard? Has the United States heard? Has the world heard? Every corner of this globe, have they heard the news of the truth of Jesus Christ? Who says he is the way, right? The life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Are the reports true? Now, I think many have heard, haven't they? Now, I think we used to, some of us that are older, there was a time where Everybody had heard. Maybe people hadn't responded, but you could go to any schoolhouse or just about anywhere, any place of employment, and most people would have heard, been to church, know Jesus Christ. But we live in a time where many under a certain age have not or do not know anything of Him. They may have heard the name Jesus, but they don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what sin is. They don't know of the condemnation of God, who the Creator is. They do not know these things. But what are people's responsibility? Romans chapter 1 tells us that the things of God, even His eternal Godhead and power, have been declared by the things that have been made. So that they, meaning people, are without excuse. You know, we can't say that somebody isolated on an island that never hears the gospel or is going to glory because they are so-called innocents. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't want to take the truth of Jesus to anyone, would we? And everybody would be innocent and everybody would be saved. No, everyone is lost. Everyone is hearing. The wonders of God is declared by His creation. And the special revelation of His Son is being preached from the Word all over this globe. Have you heard? What is the responsibility if you do hear? So many people are so arrogant. Well, sure, I've heard, but my mom and dad didn't do a good job of teaching me. Sure, I've heard, but our pastor was a clown. Sure, I heard, but our Sunday school teacher just gave us Kool-Aid and cookies and pizza, and it was all about hormones as a teenager. And we didn't hear much of the Word because everybody was just interested in having a good time. Maybe you've heard the name, and maybe you go to church, but it's all about you, and it's all about how you feel and your problems and blah, blah, blah. But if you really heard, and do you know that it's all of our responsibility to respond as the Queen of Sheba did? When she heard of the wisdom of Solomon, she what? Crossed the street to see what he was up to? No. She packed a tremendous caravan that had to travel a very, very long distance. They're not sure where Sheba was, but from the best guesses, this was really far away. She traveled a long way to come and to inquire of what she heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And she said something interesting in verse 7. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. Has your own eyes seen it? I think it's sad that there are people who have been to church all their life and they know very little about the Word and they know very little about the wisdom of Christ because they don't read the Bible. And they don't study. And they don't inquire of His wisdom for themselves. I love study helps, whether it's a study Bible or a devotional or commentaries or things you can read. I like those things. They can be very helpful. But if you don't read the Word of God for yourself, if you don't study and pray and seek the Lord in those things, what are you going to know? She didn't believe the reports until she came and saw it with her own eyes. And she says this, and behold, the half was not told me. She said, everything I heard wasn't even a half of what she actually experienced when she was before Solomon. That's how great his wisdom was. And you know what? If the rumors in our, at least in my life, usually the rumors or that type of thing, the real thing doesn't live up to the rumors. You ever known that? You ever heard somebody tell you about someplace good to eat? And they'll just build it up and build it up and build it up. Oh, God, it's so great. And then you go eat it and you're, it's a hot dog. Right? Or whatever. And that's how that stuff usually works. Maybe that's what she was expecting. She seems a little surprised, doesn't she? She says, the half was not told to me. This was a case where the rumors and the things that had spread didn't even live up to how good the real thing was.
His wisdom, she says in the end of that, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpasses the report that I had heard. And it was so, it surpassed it so much. I'm going to back up to verse 5. She encountered him and all that he had and all the wisdom and the things that he had built and his people and everything that was there. And at the end of verse 5 it says, there was no more breath in her. The Queen of Sheba's breath was taken away. Man, that's a big deal, isn't it? She obviously was probably a very wealthy, powerful, and influential woman of her day. And yet her breath is taken away by the blessings that God had bestowed upon Solomon. The blessings that he had bestowed far surpassed even the rumors that she had heard. Far surpassed anything she could have imagined. And her breath is taken away. You know, sometimes I don't think, when we read God's word and people like me try to use our feeble minds, our finite minds and knowledge to communicate from the word of God how magnificent our Father in heaven is and how magnificent his Son Jesus Christ is, how wonderful it is of his majesty, his grace and his mercy and his work of atonement on our behalf. You know, I can read that song, my heart is filled with thankfulness, and you listen to the words of what God has done. And I don't think we even can imagine it. The half. It's not even half of what's really true. And the reason I know that's true is because I've told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. When we hear of people and encountering the Christ or the Father in the Scriptures, it is far beyond what they expected. Moses wanted to see a glimpse of God. And God had to put him in the cleft. And he had to cover it with his hand. So the only thing that was showing through. You ever as a kid, you would hold your a flashlight up to the back of your hand or something. And you can see the red or the light coming through. I mean, it's not actually coming through because your skin prevents it, but you can still see a glow like in the dark. That's what God was doing to Moses in the cleft of that rock. Because he said to really, for his eyes to fall upon him in his earthly form, it would kill him. And Moses, the Bible says, looked differently after that. If you read that, his hair was white. And they say he had like an aura about him. Or how about Isaiah? And I bring this out because I'm telling you, we need to have reverence for God. We need to listen to what it's saying. We take for granted, we take lightly his commandments, the things he says, the things he does. And we act like people go to church and we play a few songs and people hold their hands up. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with holding your hands up. There's nothing wrong with wanting to worship God, but so much of that seems to be all about the person that later they can say, boy, that was a good one. I felt spiritual. You've heard me repeat multiple times, then you probably didn't meet the Lord. Because every time somebody meets the Lord in the Bible, their breath's taken away. Isaiah is taken up and he meets the Lord God. And Isaiah cries what? I think Isaiah had some horsepower. Do you know what I mean? He was a man of the Lord, a man of God. And when he encounters God, he says, woe is me, I am undone. Because of the magnificence of God. How about John on the Isle of Patmos when Jesus appears to him? What does John do? Hey, the man upstairs. How you doing, brother? Is that what he does? He falls on his face. He is just, in the description of Jesus is just something we can only imagine. Jesus is not this skinny guy holding a lamb that we portray in the pictures. He is the Almighty King of everything. And just the Queen of Sheba encountering the wealth and wisdom of Solomon took her breath away. the descriptions of the Lord God Almighty in the Scripture is not the half of it, people. It's not the half of it. His wisdom surpasses anything we can imagine. Don't you want to get the wisdom of God? Don't you want to hear? Would you have liked to sit and talk to Solomon? Well, we've got a whole book of the wisdom of God. And so many take it for granted. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Did you hear that? What inheritance do we have? It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, or our hearts has not imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. What hope that can give us in this world. We studied this morning about the shipwreck of Paul. And we talked about trust and how we can trust and endure the hard things of this life. And one thing we didn't talk a lot about, we talked about trusting the Lord, is one way reason we can. I think one reason Paul could is because our heart hasn't even imagined what God has prepared for us. See, because Paul had seen. And do you know what Paul said? He said, I'd rather be dead. He said to what? To live is Christ, but what? To die is gain. He said, I'd rather be with the Lord, but I'll stay here on earth and I'll live out my life because that's the plan God has for me. Man, we can't imagine what God has planned. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Have you heard? Have you heard of the wisdom, the one called Jesus Christ? Have you heard of His mercy? Have you heard of His grace? Have you heard of His power, of His promises? Have you? Then why don't we look like this a little more often? Why are we so attached to the world and the things of the world? And you know me, I'm not saying you don't enjoy the fruits of your labor and stuff. But how many things become between us and God in our day? How many people profess Christ but act like it's not important to know Him? You know, I just can't get over it. And I was talking to a young fella not too long ago who said that I know Jesus and Jesus loves me. And church isn't important. This isn't important, that isn't important, that isn't important. All that matters is that I know and love Jesus. You can't separate loving Jesus from His commandments. If you love me, you keep my commandments, He said. You can't separate any of the things that God has told us. He commanded us to be baptized. He commanded us to use our gifts. He commanded us to love our brothers and sisters and edify them. He has commanded these things. We can't make stupid statements like that. So God had a plan for the life of David, and He had expectations of David, and He disciplined David when David went awry. But it's not important for us. It was important for Moses, but it's not important for me. Who do we think we are? The Queen of Sheba comes and sees Solomon, and her reaction is this, and we know the living Christ. Oh, well. So I ask you if you've heard. Verse 8, she says, happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. You know what comes from the wisdom of God? And knowing Him and trusting Him and in living for Him? Isn't that what they were doing with Solomon? Now I know people want to paint this like Solomon was an ogre and everybody was miserable. Y'all, we'll get to that later because that happens. But in this moment, because of the wealth and wisdom and inheritance that God and blessing He had bestowed, they were all happy. You know, we live in a very individualistic society that we think we're going to heaven so God can serve us. I've got news for you. We're going to heaven to worship and serve God. But that's the happiest we can be because that's what we're created for. to belong, to serve, to hear, and to know. Jesus, I have come that you may have joy, and that you can have it what? More abundantly. Verse 9, blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Even this woman, who is not an Israelite, who is not of the people of God, says, blessed be the Lord your God. She recognized who gave Solomon this power. It was so magnificent, his wisdom and power and wealth, that she knew it had to be of God. Notice what the happiness and the delight and the love flows through. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, his people. He has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness is where our happiness and joy flows from. Holiness. We act like that's the bad side of the coin, that Jesus saved us from all those things. No, we need to embrace and love those things, as the psalmist says. But let's turn to Romans. Let's read some things together. Romans 3, 21 through 26. Listen. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How many times did you hear the word righteousness there? Happiness and joy and blessing flows through justice and righteousness. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, it's in Jesus that we have justification and sanctification that far surpasses what the Queen of Sheba has seen in Solomon. But Solomon is the foretaste of that. That's why the Bible records this and is telling us this, to try to help us in our mind to see how magnificent the true fulfillment of this, the true King is. And Solomon gave to those who sought him. So verse 13 said, and King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. See, she sought Solomon. She sought wisdom. She sought truth. And Solomon gave to those who sought that wisdom and that truth. But again, I tell you that there's one greater. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and listen to this, this is what He gives those who seek Him, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth
and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. He's able to do more than we can even ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. John 14. Let's read Acts 2:36 since I'm passing by. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus isn't just your Savior, people. He is the Lord and Christ. He is the King. He is the Messiah. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So it says that he gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she desired. And it says here, whatever we ask in his name. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? It means to be in line with the will of God. We can't ask anything in his name that would be selfish or evil or wicked or wrong or idolatrous. And that's what in the book of James, James says you don't receive because you ask amiss. When we go before the Lord, we go before to please him and to do his will. And when we do that, he absolutely every time answers our prayers and gives us our desires, because we will be desiring what is best and not asking amiss. So that is this great wisdom that surpasses. But the second half of this chapter goes into this greater treasure. And so I'm not going to read all this to you, but it talks about the weight of the gold that he had from all the merchants from all over the land. The shields made of gold that he put in the house of the forest of Lebanon. About his throne and how it was covered in gold. 12 lines on each end of a step, of 6 steps, like that was never made. The drinking vessels of gold. It says in verse 21, none were of silver. Silver was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon. You know how wealthy and blessed Solomon was? Silver was, it was just nothing. Because gold, they were so blessed. It says he had a fleet of ships, and that he traded gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. And you have this description of all the blessing. And if you turn back to 1 Kings 3:13, that we've already studied, and if you remember, Solomon prayed for wisdom, but God said in response to that, verse 13 of chapter 3, I will give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. Now, many commentators, I read a bunch in study for this. Some want to say that this is already an indication that Solomon is off the track. He's accumulating all this wealth. He's wealth happy. He's gold happy. He's already going down the wrong way. Other ones say, no, this is the fulfillment of that blessing that God had promised him. That God said, you will be wealthier and you will be blessed upon any around you. And so this unimaginable, and this wealth is relational, isn't it? Now, the Bible doesn't say gold is bad. The Bible talks about all the gold that was in the temple, and we could bring out many verses to that effect. We have all the description in Revelation. You know, the streets are made of gold in glory. So it's not saying gold is bad. And we see this fulfillment of this promise. So, and we'll talk about this again. We'll come back to this in a second. But let's look at verses 23 through 25.
So the narrator who's writing this book talks about what the Queen of Sheba thought, and then he comments on his own in verses 23 through 25. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear of this wisdom which God had put into his mind. Every one of them brought his present, articles of silver, gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules, so much year by year. So we see here in this fulfillment that God answered the prayer of Solomon, that he had a wisdom beyond compare, that the whole world sought his presence, and that they came to pay reverence and honor to Solomon. And if you remember back when we started, we were talking about the wise men who sought the king, didn't they? And they brought gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor him. And those have a meaning. But what I'm pointing out is how they come, and you see the shadow and the likeness here, don't you, of what Solomon represents and how much greater it will be in the future. Now, are there possible excess here? Verses 26 through 29. I don't want to lose you here. Yeah, the babies are nice. Verses 26 through 29, after the commentator comments on how all this was true that the Queen of Sheba stated, are there some possible excesses? Some say yes, some say no. You had some prohibitions earlier in the Old Testament that talked about the gathering of too many horses and all this stuff. You had some warnings. And it does appear to me that we can see that Solomon is starting to gather, especially after verse 25, the numbers of chariots, the numbers of horsemen, the amount of wealth, the working with Egypt. It does seem to be a lot. So what I think is at play here is we do see this excess coming about. We see a danger here, don't we? But I think you should look at your heart. And there's two things we need to be mindful of. Number one, don't call God's gifts sinful. Amen? Sometimes Christians want to do that. Don't call the blessings of God sinful. Solomon was blessed beyond measure, and the Bible says it was God gave it to him. However, don't idolize God's blessings. And I think that's what we're going to hear when I come back to preach, is we're going to start in chapter 11, and you're going to hear that don't idolize the blessings God has given you, whether it's people, relationships, wealth, status, power. Don't do it. People do it all the time. We see it in the Bible, don't we? 1 Peter 1:7, and we're almost done. Hold on, we're just a few minutes away. 1 Peter 1:7. I'm so passionate up here. All the blood rushes to your core. My hands have gotten cold, and I can't turn the pages. 1 Peter 1:7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, faith in what? Christ, more precious than gold, for all that Solomon had, the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't idolize God's blessings. But enjoy the blessings. The genuineness of your faith in Christ is where it's all at. I want to read to you a couple things and then we're going to close. Now, how important is this? That you listen to what I've been trying to tell you. And you just don't hear about Jesus, but you seek Him. And I'm talking as believers. You find Him in faith in your salvation. But we have a sanctification and a growth in Him and a seeking of Him. And Jesus says on that day of judgment, many will say, didn't we do thus and so in your name? Didn't we do this? And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Do you really know him? Have you met him? And I'm telling you, whatever you got going on in your life, it's worth your time. Charles Spurgeon, this is from the Reformed Exposition Commentary. Charles Spurgeon told the story of a ship owner who was asked about the state of his soul. Soul, the man replied, I have no time to take care of my soul. I have enough to do just taking care of my ships. We spoke about this in Sunday school, and this can be the attitude of many people, including those who profess to know Jesus. Take care of my soul. Be part of the body of Christ. Go to church. Use my gifts. Read his word. Pray. I don't have time. I have my ships to take care of. I have my work. I have my kids. We've got soccer. We've got this, that, the other thing. Listen to what Mr. Spurgeon said. But Spurgeon pointed out the man was not too busy to die, which he did only a week later. That's the truth of the matter. I'm fascinated by the Queen of Sheba. I wonder where she was from and that type thing. But if we heard the last of the Queen of Sheba, have we heard the last of her? Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Jesus Christ speaking. He's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees who think they know it all. And they're seeking a sign. The Queen of Sheba heard and came and sought, didn't she? They had the very Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in their presence. And they want a sign. And Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. And this is the part I want you to listen to. The queen of the south, or the Queen of Sheba, will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. This is the woo-hoo-hoo. And the reason it is because guess who is more blessed and has more than the generation that stood and saw Jesus on earth? It's us. We have the church, we have the completed word of God, and we have 2,000 years of preaching and teaching from his church, his body. Do you think the Queen of Sheba is going to stand up in your day of judgment? Dale Davis from the Focus on the Bible says this, and whether we are viciously resistant or merely casually indifferent to Jesus Christ, it makes no difference. So don't you dare read 1 Kings 10 and pat the Queen of Sheba on the head. You can do that, you know. You can view this regal story in 1 Kings in the same way you do an old classic movie. It was entertainment value, but no serious relevance. But don't you dare patronize this royal lady or look on her as a fascinating literary cipher. Because unless you bow before the Son of God, you will see her striding into the judgment hall and pointing her finger at you. 1 John 2, before we close the prayer. 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world,
the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 577, My Tribute. If you're able, let's please stand. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to be grateful and thankful this week and all the year long, thanking you for your wisdom and your power and your glory, thanking you for our salvation, justification, and sanctification in the atonement of our Lord, our Savior, and the King, Jesus Christ. May we truly be thankful. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of you, God, our Father, and the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. And amen.